Hey everybody, Rob here. Just a heads up before we go into tonight's show. Matt Hoffman from Big Brother 12 joined us on the show and we had a lot of fun. Just a little bit of a disclaimer in terms of the language in tonight's episode. Just wanted to give you a heads up in case you are listening with your kids or at work without headphones or anything like that. Otherwise, hope you enjoy the show with Matt Hoffman, Taryn Armstrong, and your boy. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who can't believe in a season where all we're talking about is who's pissed. It's time to now, unironically, talk about pee-pee in the house. I'm Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a special Sunday night. It was a pee-pee postponed edition. We've got a couple of these Sundays of summer where some sort of golf event or something ended up going long, so we're starting here a little bit late, but we have a great treat for you here tonight, because joining us for the first time this season, one of the great friends of Rob Has a Podcast, a man who's celebrating his birthday, the great Matt Hoffman.
Hey, hey, happy birthday, Rob.
Yeah, it's your birthday.
My, bro, it is. Hey, happy birthday to me.
Friendship, yes, friendship. All right. Great treat to have Matt with us here tonight. And then also with us to talk about everything from BB18, not PP18. I guess take your choice. Here is the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I tried to give up my spot to Matt to just let him have the whole show spotlight on himself for his birthday, but then he was like, no, I'll back out, let you have the spot. And then we kind of fought over that for a little while and we both ended up here. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah. All right. So great. As long as somebody does it, as long as somebody does it, that's friendship. That's all I care about. That's fine. As long as somebody is here. All right. So we're going to be taking your questions now. Tonight live hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robinsonwebsite.com/YouTube. So very excited, Matt. How have you been? We saw you in Chicago briefly for like 20 minutes.
We did. It was amazing. I got to witness behind the scenes of the empire.
Yeah.
Of the Rob Is a Podcast empire. I finally met my doppelganger Taryn here in person. And we had it out and all the other correspondents. It was fun. It was a good time.
The whole time that I saw Matt in Chicago, he was just incredulous. Yeah. About like, but hold on. But who are these people that are here? Do you know these people? Like, no, they came to the show.
The viewers of the cast, I'm not exaggerating. You got to attend one of these events. It's remarkable. Rob is the next David Koresh. Drink the Kool-Aid.
Because he's still amazed.
I'm amazed. I love it. Sign me up.
Just could not wrap your head around what was going on. You're just but who are they?
What am I doing here even right now?
All right, Matt. Well, let's get into talking about this. And so we're about a little bit, somewhere between a third of the way through and halfway through on BB18. I've seen a lot of discontent from people on Twitter with this season. What's been your read on BB18 so far?
It's very, I cannot find people to like or hate. It's that boring that it's just so mediocre. It's not good. It's not good. It's the worst even numbered season by far.
Yeah, I had read that Michelle and Nicole were talking on the feeds about how like all the even numbered seasons are the good seasons, like 12, 14.
I've always said that. Is that they really were? I've said that for a while.
Yeah,
that's
it's
funny.
Like, well, up until this
true,
one,
though.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
like,
I know, it is.
They're like the opposite of the Star Trek movies, right?
I'm not that nerdy. I would love that. I don't know. Never.
Actually, no, I think it is the Star Trek movies, I think, are also the even ones, yes, are the good ones also. So we'll see. But BB18 may have broken the mold, and we will talk that through. Matt, so many different things that I wanted to get your take on with this season. You know, in some ways, much like the Brigade in BB12, we seem to have a guys' alliance, which is starting to take hold. Did the Brigade ever start dressing like one another?
No, that would have probably ended poorly to see Lane in footy pajamas and me with a fedora on and steel-toed heels and whatever else he had in his bag.
Right. I would have liked to see the fedora.
Right. Isn't the point of an alliance to sort of like hide from the rest of the house, like how close you are, is like what you guys did with the brigade? It's sort of like, let's have secret meetings. Brittany was there until like day 90 with you guys and didn't even know there was a brigade. But now, yeah. Doesn't it defeat the purpose to have a uniform for your alliance?
Yeah, and then there's like all these people that are not in your alliance on the same piece of furniture, on the same bed as you, and you're like, PP, and throw it up, you know, the hands, like right in front of these people. And
PP always pulls through.
Always pulls through. And they do always pull through.
Well, I think what happened is that Pauly, he probably took Derek's advice a little too far. Derek probably told him to blend in with the house, and so Pauly was like, all right, I'll just mimic somebody else entirely.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to get your take on this, because there was a whole big sequence tonight about Paul and Pauly, and how Pauly is basically like adopting Paul's whole persona. It's like a single white female thing where he's basically like just becoming him. Like eventually maybe, you know, Paul might just disappear after the season is over, and Pauly is going to go back to Tarzana and open up some clothing store and be like, friendship, piss, sketch, za.
I find it odd that it fell into the way that it fell into, and not the exact opposite, in that
exactly.
I feel like Pauly would have always been like the real popular, like people would have wanted to be Pauly, and nobody would ever want to be Paul. And so it's so weird that like it happened in the way it did. It's almost like serendipitous, maybe, in a way. I don't know. It's strange. The stars were aligned.
And I agree completely. It totally seems like when this relationship started this season, it was like, okay, here are these two guys. They're getting close. Pauly is taking Paul under his wing. Paul is clearly the alpha in this relationship.
Yeah.
But it almost feels like that things have somehow turned around 180 degrees. Taryn, is that how it is from watching them on the feeds as well? That Paul is actually the person calling the shots, not Pauly?
I wouldn't say so. I think that Paul is mostly sort of Pauly's number two. He does have a mind of his own here. I mean, we see that he doesn't want to entirely get on board with this evict Davon plan. He still wants Bridget out, but he's still capitulating to what Pauly wants, in the sense that he's saying, okay, if somebody comes off the block, then we'll put Davon up. So yeah, I definitely wouldn't call him the alpha though.
Okay. Well, here's what I want to know. So we had in Big Brother 16, the whole Derek and Cody thing that was going on, where, you know, really it was Derek calling the shots, but, you know, Cody felt like he was sort of like a 50-50 in that partnership. But ultimately, Cody gets duped into taking Derek to the end, and Derek ultimately wins the game. In this scenario, do you see potentially where that these guys get to the final three, and then ultimately we see Pauly win the final challenge, take Paul to the end, and then lose to Paul in the exact same way that Cody lost to Derek? Because I think I could totally see it happening.
You know, Zakiya was talking about how she thinks that Paul is a big jury threat. She thinks like he was on the outs in the beginning, and now he's with us. He's like this, you know, this big character now. Like he could totally win in the end. Obviously, trying to dissuade Pauly from doing that exact scenario.
No, I really think that Paul could win. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of the HOH room segment, the friendship room, but yes, Everybody was there and smiling and happy for Paul. And I think that's a great reflection of him potentially being a winner. I think the jury would vote for him.
I think the jury would vote for him. And it is so beyond puzzling to me, this whole, why does anyone like him? Are we missing something? Is there, because like everyone does in the house, but then I feel like nobody does outside of the house. And how is that possible?
Paul has a lot of fans.
They say 24/7 feeds, right? Are they going to the fish and then Paul's doing awesome shit and then they cut back and Paul's just like a fucking weirdo again? What's happening?
Pissed.
So you're out on Paul? You don't like Paul?
Not like personally, or maybe more person. I don't know what it is. There's something I feel. Yeah, I guess I don't. I guess I don't like Paul.
What is it you don't like about him? You feel like he's trying too hard with the catchphrase?
Yes, he's trying too hard with everything. I feel like it's so contrived. It's like But the other thing is that then he also becomes the only one on the whole cast that is at least, you know, extreme in any way for TV. So he then becomes like the one person I even enjoy watching in like a train wrecky kind of way. So I like to love hate.
Yeah.
We need him right now. He's the only, you know, kind of boisterous cast member.
Yeah, we need him. I don't think he's a great player. I do think he's been fun to watch the whole way through. And I think that he is the, you know, TV giant among the, like, he is the tall blade of grass here in this cast.
Yeah, and I think he appears to be kind of tiny, and I always like the tiny people. I do. James and now this dude. If I'm right about that, he appears tiny.
Did you know that Paul said Za, and does that endear him to you more or less?
Well, I used to say Za in my early 20s, and looking back, I kind of don't like that. I don't think I would have done that anymore, and that's not a piece of advice old Hoff would have given to new Hoff to not do that. So I get it. I mean, I think he's that age where you say Za, and it's cool, and people laugh, and then you get, you know, drunk chicks. That's how drunk chicks always end up rambling into the bed.
Wow.
Za.
Okay, the types of guys
who say Za, you know right. what I mean? Like yeah. Those, yeah. those okay. Paul types. And that's an early 20s thing. And so I get it.
Well, all right. I wanted to get your take about a couple of things strategically that we're seeing so far on this season, of the limited strategy that we're seeing here in Big Brother 18. So, Matt, we saw Paulie tonight volunteer to go up on the block because he really just wants to support PP, support Paul, and help out the cause. Paul wants Bridget out, but Paulie would rather see Devon go home this week. In week two, I believe, of Big Brother 12, in a similar position, you said, let me go up on the block. Put me up on the block. I'm confident. could you talk about your mindset and whether you think that that is a strong move for a player to make in the game?
Yeah, so this is funny you bring this up because it is very similar in that, and we were just talking about decisions. Old Hoff would tell Young Hoff, don't do that. I would not have done that, even though it worked out for me, because I'm trying to figure out why I did it. And I was thinking about this about a month ago for some reason. It came up and I was like, why did I ever? There really wasn't a reason. And I remember going back to the brigade and being kind of like Polly did, like thinking like, hey, look what I did for us. I nominated myself, but it doesn't make any sense. There was no reason for me to be doing that. And I don't know why, because it didn't help the brigade really. And it didn't particularly, it's not helping this pee-pee thing. You know, why would you ever want someone in your alliance on the block? I don't know. Stupid.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that must seem like, you know, we're in a tough spot right now. We really need somebody to step up to the plate. And I'd love to have like somebody go up on the block and not have blood on my hands. And so it just must be one of those things when you have enough time on your hands to say, fine, I'll do it. Let me bite the bullet. It's my turn, right?
But particularly when it like Nicole offered. And also, I will say in my defense, I did have a real reason in that I was playing both sides right in the middle and I didn't want to vote on either side. So I had to just be like, I don't want to vote, so I'm going to go up. But that is not the case. Like, so there's no strategy in the Pauly situation.
Yeah. So it wasn't like for you the way it is for Pauly, like, hey.
No.
What is that? We need strong competitors in this veto competition. That's why we need Paulie to step up, to go on and take on Bridget. That'd be friendship in this HOH competition. It wasn't that.
No. And why are they still hung up on Bridget? That seems weird. It's like when a showmance breaks up, everyone just leaves the other person alone and then they're still tagging this poor girl.
Yeah. Well, I think that maybe we'll see ultimately if she does go home. But at this point, it's a little bit. She is like the dog in the shelter that Corey is falling in love with at this point. Like, isn't she? She's like sort of like her owner is gone. She's been abandoned. She's been abused and kicked around and bullied throughout the season. And now she's just sort of like alone, shaking in the cage somewhere. And
yeah,
like
they need a Sarah McLachlan song playing over all of her B-roll footage. They're trying so hard to give her a sympathetic edit and to make people don't want to feel bad for her, but it's like she again falls into this mix of people that you just the huge like file of don't give a shit. It's just no, you cannot care about any of these people. So it's like as hard as they're trying it, I guess you sort of feel bad for her, but it's all just like who cares about any of them.
There's certainly a lot of goodwill building up with Bridget, with especially on Reddit and a lot across Twitter. Yeah, that a lot of people are really starting to get down, like, the time codes and pulling the video files of her being
fucking
bullied.
Lunatics.
Yeah, you know, you're lucky. You played, you got in right at towards the end where they weren't like you know, recording everything. And
Jesus,
like,
Christ, the shit I say all the time, and I did that. Would if that would have been the thing? Fuck it, I would have had. I would have no job. I would be able to do this podcast. I wouldn't even be able to afford internet access because these shitheads would have totally destroyed my life. Thank God that that wasn't happening when I was in the house. I don't ever want to go back for that reason. Now I'm thinking. Now that I'm thinking,
right, Taryn, the for the live feed watching audience, the Save Bridget movement is clearly in action, right?
Yeah, this compilation came out of all the moments of her getting bullied by the house, and it certainly drummed up a lot of sympathy. Plus, she was, you know, attached to Frank, this underdog coalition. So, yeah, it's, Bridget is definitely one of the top contenders for rootable characters left on the season.
Bullied. Getting bullied. By what are people doing? Lots of bullying? Are they? What are they doing to her? They calling her names.
Yeah, well, there's about a 30-minute video you could watch.
Oh, yeah.
Of people.
Well, newsflash, Bridget and all the other house guests, because when you go out of the house, you're going to get called a fucking lot of names by, like, everybody. So if this is getting to you and you say, oh, we were getting bullied because they're calling us names, like, you're in the wrong fucking game because it's going to get, you know, there's a shitstorm coming your way. You know, it's going to get real bad. I have very little sympathy for this name-calling bullying.
Yes,
bullshit. Yeah. And I'll say this too. I'm not a live feed watcher, but I just today or yesterday saw the clip for the first time that I've been reading about it. Read the blog. They kept bringing up her saying about the eyeball or the eyebrow shaving thing, and she wouldn't resuscitate her. So it sounded so bad to me. I finally saw it the other day, and it was the most mild bullshit, clearly tongue in cheek, like not serious thing. She was like, said I was kidding right after it. And all I've been reading for weeks is like this buildup of what a bitchy thing it was to say. So people just have huge sticks up their tiny little asses. And that is a big problem nowadays.
Yeah. People got very upset about all that. So going back to Paulie putting himself up on the block, I mean, do you feel like that this is a terrible move for him and one that potentially, like, do you see a major hole in his game, or do you feel like that ultimately this isn't the kind of thing that is going to be too much of a problem for him?
Okay, both. It will not be a problem for him, so it's fine that he did it, but it is definitely stupid. I mean, there's just no reason. It was unnecessary. With the Nicole having said, I'll do it, it's like there's just no reason. But he'll be fine. You know, even forgetting the fact that he didn't win the veto, I think he still would.
But do you feel like that this is a window into a potential problem for him down the road?
In what way?
That do you feel like that this is sort of the arrogance of like, hey, put me on the block. I'll go. I don't care. We'll do it. We'll take care of it. It's a done deal.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Hoff douchiness and Paul's douchiness. So we are kindred spirits in that way, and it definitely can bite
Paul
him in the
Paulie?
Ass in a similar way. Paul.
Okay.
I mean, Paul, I don't watch the feeds. I don't think the edits that I see are getting the idea across that Paulie is real, like, gung-ho. I mean, not that he's not tagged to Paul, he is, but Paul seems to be like a cheerleader of the situation to me, at least based on how it's going.
Yeah.
And that arrogance is what is going to, that probably.
Now, we also got to see America's care package get dropped on the house. Yeah, not since the Saboteur have we had such a great branding behind a new Big Brother game twist.
Yeah, it's a really great America's Who Cares package.
The Who Cares package, yeah. All right, so we got to see our first care package dropped on the house. This week it was Nat ends up winning the care package, a never-not-pass. Yeah.
How convenient. What a weird thing for America to do. Does that make sense to you? Am I missing something? Any live feed? Taryn, is she really that? I mean, not that I don't think she's unlikable, but isn't there other people that would have, you would think,
Well, she is number one on Joker's updates, Matt.
Really? What's her appeal?
I think it's the romance with James. I think I called it from earlier in the season. Like they're being pushed as like the new, you know, Jeff and Jordan, like adorable couple kind of thing.
Oh my God, it's never gonna work out. No. Who are we kidding? Who thinks this is gonna happen?
The adorable couple is always the Big Brother voter's number one favorite thing.
Yep.
Yeah. They are big fans of the adorable couple. You know, she's like basically the brunette Jordan Lloyd.
Yeah, sure. What else do we think is going to be in these care packages?
Well, we know that it's going to escalate, and Matt, that we never quite get to Diamond Power of Vito, but these care packages do become progressively important in terms of the game. And the interesting dynamic in all of this is that once you win one of these things, you can't get another one. So it's going to work out where like the fourth or fifth most popular player is going to end up having a huge swing in the game. It's crazy that like it's almost
that's true. Yes. I didn't even think of that.
It's so bizarre. It's like talk about like you know, all these things being mediocre. We've invented some sort of a twist to reward
and in the middle of the road.
Yeah, we are rewarding the most mediocre person who we can find.
They don't think ever. They don't. I feel like they don't think.
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, we have 11 people in the house. If people get voted off, I mean, we could be like, we've invented some sort of a twist. Yeah, that's like a rewarding you. Well, you were the seventh most popular player this season.
Michelle's going to get a coup d'etat or something. It's going to be horrible.
Yeah, I saw Johnny Mack tweet out something like, I like how they had, you know, just more they had the amount of care packages is just more than the amount of fan favorites in the house.
Have we ruled out, did you guys, I saw this when I was watching with my wife, I noticed, when they did the HOH competition last week, wasn't it too, what if Frank had the round trip in? Wasn't it all set up where, like, they had to have not had
this is a good point.
And then, thus, wouldn't you guarantee that Bridget now doesn't have it? Because otherwise, if a vote split... You know what I mean? Am I making sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. So this is a good point, and I got sent this, I believe. I want to say...
I'm not the inventor of this conspiracy theory? Didn't know. I didn't hear this before.
I believe it got sent to me. I believe this was from Chris Nichols sent this to me this morning as well, where basically taking a look at the way that the HOH competition was structured, there wasn't enough room for there to be another racetrack. Yeah, I guess people are saying it was on Reddit as well. So that there wasn't enough room for there to be a setup. So did this tip off the hand to production that they knew Frank didn't have it? Now, we've talked about that the cards were numbered that people have. So production does indeed know, potentially, we're assuming that that's why there's numbers there, which player has the round trip ticket. That, you bring up a good point, though, about that we can presume that Bridget does not have the round-trip ticket, but although that, I think it was pretty much a done deal that she was staying. Right, Taryn?
Yeah, and you know, because I was looking for this, because I was sent that as well, and I saw it on Reddit. So I was looking for the kind of layout of this competition, and it looked like there was a fabric coming down that had a background on it that like maybe if pulled up had an extra board to play on. So like, because you would imagine that that this would tip off the players as well, and they wouldn't want to do that. Not to mention they're usually not too prone on like switching up HOH competitions if they don't have to. So I would guess that there was enough room for an extra sliding board thing that was just kind of hidden by something, just in case.
I like that Taryn went all JFK assassination and
zoomed in
and found the hidden curtain, and this is great, like real in depth.
I do want to just take a moment and say for people who want to send us in a more long form question, also that my good friend Rich Tackenberg, who listens to the podcast, says, hey, I'm on the West Coast. I can't ask my questions live because I don't watch Big Brother until later. I'd like to send questions into the show. We have a new email address. You could send us in questions and we'll be able to go and do a deep dive into some of these other questions you have. So send them in before the podcast, bigbrother@robhasawebsite.com, and we'll answer some of your emails as we go along here along the way. So let's go back into Nicole and where she's at in this game. Matt, have you been impressed or depressed with Nicole this season? Friendship or pissed?
I mean, I'm always depressed through the Big Brother season as I trudge through this bullshit. But Nicole specifically, I suppose, actually, I kind of like her more than I thought I would. She's not as irritating. I thought she'd be very... From her, you know, her casting videos in preseason, I thought she was going to be a total spaz. And she's just like, normal, weird little chick. Yeah, she's a chick. She's just a girl. Everyone's so normal. I have no concern for any of these people as, like, from an entertainment or, like, that you, like, kind of latch onto them and you, oh, I want this person to win. I could give a shit who wins at this point because everyone is just so mediocre. What was happening with this guy?
Do you have a relationship with any of these returning players? Do you know any of them? I mean, isn't Nicole also from the Chicago area?
She is, and I never met her, but I enjoyed her on her last season. And then someone was tweeting me, you know, that was all the fans. I was tweeting and saying, like, when you're talked about and they have to tell you. And so someone said that Nicole said I wasn't cute. And I'm like, well, fuck her. Then I actually liked her. And not that, and why do I care? I'm married and I'm not cute, incidentally, and I'm old and she's young. And it's like, well, why do I care? But I do. And so fuck her. Now I'm not a fan of hers either. And
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Well, if she doesn't think you're cute, then she must not think I'm cute either.
Yeah, we're both have no shot.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, neither of you guys are Corey, so that's another thing.
No.
So talking about Nicole, here's an email that we got this week from one of our listeners, Megan, who has an interesting question. I thought she wants to know, does anyone else feel that Nicole is setting her up to be the Christine this season? On the feeds, she talks trash about the girls with the guys and talks about targeting all the girls. Seems like Christine, who helped take out the girls just to be dropped for Victoria. Can't you see the same thing happening in Nicole being dropped for Natalie or maybe Bridget down the road? Matt, do you see that Nicole's game ending up unfolding like Christine's in Big Brother 16?
This is crazy that this question implies that I would remember Big Brother 16 at all, honestly. So I'm going to have a real hard time answering this one. I'm sorry, whoever that was.
All right, that's pass. Taryn, what do you think? Passing.
To some extent, I can see it. You know, she is kind of dropping her female allies for the males, and all the males are kind of forming together as a group against the females, and she is pretty expendable to them. So, to some extent, I do see it, but I don't think it's, I mean, obviously, and it's not one for one.
Yeah, okay. So we'll see how that all plays out for Nicole. Nicole, I think, is in a really good spot, though, because right now she is currently fifth in the house in terms of active players, where she's in the mix for one of these care packages that are going to drop. She'll get one of them, and she's probably in that sweet spot where she's going to get the fourth or the fifth one based on the people that are ahead of her right now. That are active players in the house. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs that, like, half of the people that are above her are out of the house. That Natalie, James, Bridget are all ahead of them. And Bridget could potentially go home this week. Davon, who's also potentially, you know, that people are targeting her. And then she's fifth right now among active players. So she's in a really good spot to pick up one of these care packages. And the people that are behind her, Corey, Victor, Michelle, Paul, Zakiya and Paulie probably aren't leapfrogging her. And if one of them does, it's not going to be like four of them leapfrog her.
It's good detective work.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So look for that. Nicole will win one of these five care packages. I'm calling. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but I am definitely putting that down. And I think that, look, I think that the Corey thing, I think that he could potentially be on the rise also, Taryn, based on that if they're just going to show Corey talking about Christmas, talking about Justin Bieber, talking about cute guys, talking about puppies, then this guy's stock is going to be on the rise too. And I think he's going to get a care package as well, Taryn.
I completely agree. I mean, this was a very bizarre segment with the puppies.
What was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt, what is Corey talking about here with this whole thing about the shelter dog? And then we cut to like a flashback of him making out with his dog. I mean, is Corey dipping in the house? I can't understand a word he is saying. It really is they have subtitle him all the time. It's like he's such a marble mouth.
Yeah, he has to mimic Clay in every possible way, right?
Is that what it is?
I think that's it. I mean,
do you find him harder to understand than Judd?
That's a tough question.
I mean, I understood Judd. I think the segment with Clay last season where he did the mumbling and they put the crazy subtitles under it, I feel like we're just one step away from having that segment with Corey.
I don't know if he's has something in his mouth, Corey, but I just can that he's mumbling so much at this point.
I just don't understand that whole segment. Why that happened to us?
Yeah. Well, Taryn, it seems like we got away from James scaring people. Is that over now? Does James not scare people anymore?
Well, yeah, he talked about he apologized for not doing as many pranks because Victor doesn't like the pranks, so he had to stop doing them.
Yeah. Oh, my
Here's
God.
Here's what's particularly unsettling about this clip, though, is that those little goofy bullshit clips like the James pranks are also punctuated and interspersed with the diary rooms kind of explaining and narrating. So it's almost like watching a little vignette or story. This was just a weird, creepy eyeball into this insane conversation with like weird fades and trippy repeats. And so there was no like narrative to it. I mean, in a season of Who Gives a Shit, this was the defining Who Gives a Shit scene of the Who Gives a Shit season. I think we've seen it here tonight.
Yeah, Matt, it was almost like he was in some sort of like Manchurian Candidate type mode where it was like talking about the dog. Like he was somewhere else at the point that he was talking about the shelter dog.
But I blame the editors as much. They must have just been up late at night and just kind of being like, let's do this weird thing, because they didn't have to show that. I mean, I'm sure other strange things, everyone does weird things when they talk or zones out. But why did we include this as part of our 1 hour episode that we had? I don't understand.
I don't know. It's a good question. Matt, back in Big Brother 12, that the house was set up in a way where there was really one sort of like big amoeba alliance where you guys had the brigade, but then everybody in the brigade had other people that they were close to. And for the most part, you guys were, voting a lot of the time as a unit with Brendan and Rachel sort of on the outside. Do you see any of that happening in Big Brother 18 with sort of like the one massive sort of like modified eight pack moving against the likes of Tiffany and Frank and potentially Davon?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly like structured brigade-ish in that way, but the thing that was good about the brigade is that the alliances were secretive, and so the point of that being you would do that so that you ideally would get put up on the block with these people. So everything's kind of public. Like, people have their pairs and then their bigger groups, but it's not, there would be no reason, I don't think, to put up your side alliance in as much a way as it would have. It's a little less strategic. It just sort of happened.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to get into some questions as well as we go along here with Matt. Let's take a question from you guys and let's go to Anthony966. If Paulie got blindsided this Thursday, will his move to volunteer as a pawn be worse than his brother's decision to take Derek to the end? Now, Matt, do you remember when his brother took Derek to the end in Big Brother 16?
I do. That was a terrible decision. I mean, I made
some
terrible
decisions. Would you say that was one of the 10 worst Big Brother decisions that were ever made?
Yeah, and because, like, it's so pinnacle, you know? Like, it's not like a decision mid-season. You know, even the worst mid-season decision is still a mid-season decision. This was, like, the final decision you ever had to make, and he screwed it up. So yeah, that's one of the worst.
Would you say it would be incredulous to imagine that someone would not have that in their top 10 worst moves of all time?
Yeah, is there someone here that we know that has that not in their number one slot?
All right, I can't have Matt Hoffman believing this myth. It is in my top 10 list. I made a joke about it not being in my top 10 list, and it has haunted me ever since.
My evil twin.
I said instead that the entirety of season 9 was one of the worst moves in Big Brother history.
All right. Would you say that him volunteering to go up on the block would be worse than that? No, it can't be worse, right?
No, because it's so early in the game. It's like, who knows how that butterfly effect would take to that.
Yeah. Matt, were you surprised that we saw Zakiya tonight? I thought that was such a weird spot to see her. That was, she's been like hiding the whole season. And then we got like a bunch of her talking about how Paul's letter from home ended up really making her miss her family. It was like Andrew Savage's story in Survivor Cambodia.
I heard she's quite the whack job on the feeds. A little bit of... I wish they show some of that.
I didn't gather
anything about her from the CBS edit. And so from these feeds, I want to see her go into like crazy, crazy girl mode. I always like that.
You feel like that she's like obsessed with Paulie? That's the problem?
Yeah, but I want to see that. I like that kind of stuff. And I like, from what I'm understanding, Taryn, correct me if I'm wrong, that Paulie seems to not care about her in any way. He's ready to clip her because she's being crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that true? See, I like that kind of stuff. I want to see that play out. That's so much better than Corey zoning out about fucking puppies. And we're wasting our time with that, and James spraying fucking shaving cream on people. And meanwhile, this drama is going on, and we're missing it.
You want them to show more of the drama between Paulie and Zakiya.
Turmoil. Yeah, I want to see like relationship turmoil.
Yeah.
There's full-on fights on the feeds.
Yeah, what's going on there? What's the latest with the relationship between Paulie and Zakiya?
Well, I mean, basically, what's been happening for a little while is that anytime Paulie gets anywhere near another girl, Zakiya kind of has a little freak out. And it got really bad. At one point, Nicole had been rubbing his hair, and Zakiya freaked out about it. Like, oh, I don't blame you, Nicole. I blame him because, he shouldn't be doing that. And Nicole was like, all right, fine. I'll stay away. I won't come in within a 10-foot radius. And then Zakiya was like, all right, I'm going to go sleep in Victor's bed to make him jealous, to get back at him. It didn't turn out poorly because he didn't care. And, she was just like, oh, well, Now what have I done? I'm so, man. And they've had fights about it. That's just one example. It's been a lot of stuff.
I mean, they've known each other for 4 weeks. Like, what? How does this happen in 4 weeks?
Hey, I can't help it. I just look at the girl, and then she wants to get with me. She wants to get with she needs. I was going to make a pee-pee joke, and then I decided I thought better of it. I said, you know what? That's it. Let's keep some dignity. That's right.
Pee-pee always pulls through.
Yes.
We could do better.
We're better than this. We don't need to go into Uncle Austin's trailer. Okay. We don't need to go full bloom. Ava Carter, do you guys really think Nicole's playing a bad game? Even though she's in a showmance, she still seems to be playing logically and is not clouded. I still think that Nicole has a lot of equity, Matt, to win this game. You feel like, even though she thinks you're not cute, you think that she is going to potentially have a shot at this?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I could do without her as of the last week or so, but... I think she's in a good position, and I think she's a good player. This is a mark of a good player, typically, I feel, who... doesn't ruffle too many feathers, but also gets a little bit of hands dirty, gets involved. I think she knows her place in the game. The showmance is probably what's going to kill her, if anything, I would imagine.
Yeah. Taryn, if you had to take a bet tonight, who lasts longer in this game, Corey or Nicole? Where would you go?
Because
who's coming for Corey?
Okay, here's what I think. I think that Nicole has a better shot to win the game. I think Corey has a better shot to stay longer in the game.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can't even come up with the scenario where Corey goes home before September 1st.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a great spot right now. Nobody's gunning for him. You know, some people are talking about, like, why isn't anyone talking about Corey? Because he was also with Frank, you know. But he's mostly staying out of the spotlight. Most of the spotlight is on Nicole, and that's very good for him. Plus, he's in with the guys, and they are running the house right now.
Do people talk about the goat scandal anymore, or when he gets out of the house, will he probably never hear about
that?
That
was like for a weekend. People
no one
will
care. He's not going to get out. People are going to ask him.
Not only are people not talking about the goat anymore, we just had a segment that depicted him as the greatest animal lover in the history of Big Brother.
He almost was party to lighting an animal on fire. And now, what is that?
Don't worry, there are still people who remember, and they will, I'm sure, let him know multiple times when he gets out.
For the next 5 or 6 years of his life, they'll be letting him know that.
See. I think it's over. I don't believe you guys are going to remember that.
I still see people reference it on Twitter.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
I'm going to bring it up then when he gets out of the house.
Edwin Hernandez says, it has become quite obvious that Paulie is playing the best game in the house. Who is playing the next best game? Is it Corey or is it Paul? Well, first off, do we co-sign?
A lot of assumptions.
Yeah. Or do we co-sign on Paulie is playing the best game in the house, friendship or pick?
Here's what I'll say. I don't think he's playing the best game, but I think he's probably in one of the, if not best positions, but not due to his stellar gameplay.
Yes. Okay. So then who is playing the best game in the house?
That's another one I'm going to pass.
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer, right?
How do you answer that? I don't even know.
I think it's Paulie. I said on Twitter that I think Paulie is kind of like the chip leader in a poker game who just like burns his lead constantly trying to push people around. He's like, he was trained by Derek, right? So he has this knowledge to do well in the game. He knows kind of what to do. He still makes a ton of mistakes, though. He still is really arrogant. He shaves
his head like an idiot.
Yeah, he shaves his head. Yeah. He volunteers to go on the block. He gets really, really fixated on people like Tiffany. That said, he's still like nobody else knows how to play the game. So like it's like he's literally, you know, the guy who in a sea of blind people, he is the king with one eye, which is absolutely the wrong way to say that. But he is playing the best game, and he is in the best position. Victor coming in really, really benefited him. But he's still the only one who's really, really doing much.
Taryn, if it was Paulie and Paul in the final two, what votes would Paulie have?
I mean, it's hard because I think the relationships will change over time, but, he would have Corey, he would have Nicole.
But you don't think people are going to hold him responsible for them going out more so than Paul when it gets to that point?
They haven't so far. Here's the thing, because he was very, very responsible for Frank going home. But going out of the house, Frank was very amicable toward Paulie. If he's able to do that sort of thing with everyone that goes out of the house, then I think he's in a great position. Paul seems like the kind of person that is going to rub people the wrong way as they leave the house. Yeah, he very much did that with Bridget, and that's why he's so gung-ho against Bridget, is because he really messed with her head last week. And he's really not looking into jury management too much, but he is decently popular enough that if he makes it there with somebody who maybe isn't Paulie, he'd have a chance, I think.
Let me just play this clip I pulled from Paul tonight talking about his new alliance, PP.
P-H-O-H, P on the block, boom. PP takes the POV, controls the entire situation. Explosion of friendship.
An explosion of friendship after you get P on the block, Matt.
Yeah, I love the sound effects and the shaky camera.
Yeah.
P on the block. On the HOH.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you hate it when... let's just keep going. Stay out of that Austin's Uncle Austin's trailer. Andrew Kirk wants to know, question for Matt, who would you pick as an honorary brigade member and what could their nickname be? Is there anybody that you see this season that you feel like, boy, this person should be in the brigade?
No, these schlubs? Are you kidding me? No. I had a hard enough time with the guys I had and they were actually kind of half decent sometimes. Drag this dead weight around. No thanks.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to Matthew Forsyth. I want to say, Matt, Nicole had two rules going into the BB house. Did you have any set rules before you played?
Yeah, I had this. One of her set rules was mine. It was don't throw a competition, and I threw a competition and lost. So my dumb ass should have just listened to my one rule that I set for myself. That was the only rule I set, and I didn't.
Yeah. All right. Anna C says, so is PP, a.k.a. PP, the worst alliance name BB history? It's, you know, you have Paul who is citing the name of the previous worst alliance,
Friendship,
constantly. Maybe has outdone it with the unironic PP.
Yeah, I think Friendship is still the worst, but PP is real bad. Is that Friendship really a reference to the Friendship?
No, no. Why does he say that? He knows that's a thing.
Why does he say that?
Taryn, do we have any sense of why he says that?
It's just a thing he came up. It's he comes up with catchphrases.
That's great. That's great. He's like, it's like Enzo, but like even worse. Who wants to hear those catchphrases? Nobody. America likes that. I'll bet.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I've in the past, not anymore, because I'm in the Who Gives a Shit file now. But in the past, it was a lot of kids, like little kids that would come up. I mean, like first, second, third grade, and they'd say debate and all this shit. And I'm like, who's the kids are watching Big Brother? And I'll bet you kids like that kind of junk, like the PP and Paul's Friendship and the boy and this and stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
It's on at 8 o'clock at night. I mean, I think that this is, you know, family-friendly programming on network TV.
No, it's family-friendly. It's junk.
Hey, I watched when I was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a family and, you know, it's 8 o'clock at night, unless you're just like DVRing, you know, Nick Jr. from the day, if you're going to watch something as a family, I mean, this is kind of what you're watching.
I hope the internet explodes and my kid never finds out I was on Big Brother.
Explosion of friendship.
Yeah. Yes. The internet goes away and she never finds out.
Yeah. Wesley Lester says, do you find it odd that even though Day has gotten the house to get out her targets the past few weeks, she's still the most paranoid and that could be the downfall in her game. She is more like Vanessa than Tiffany. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I was way paranoid unnecessarily often, and not when I should have been, but unnecessarily in Big Brother early on in my season. And that did almost get me kicked out, unbeknownst at the time. You know, I found out later. But yeah, that's not a good way to be. It does not come off well. I think you just got to kind of play it off cool.
Yeah. Taryn, have you got any insight into Davon's game that you didn't know already about her in watching her for 2 weeks back in Big Brother 17?
Nope.
Yeah. You kind of got it. You had it for the first in 2 weeks from the first time.
Yep.
Why is she here? What is she doing? Why did they bring her back?
We don't know.
Does anyone ever know? That's the biggest.
She called one of the twins Chubbums or something. Thickums.
Thickums. Thickums.
Thickums.
Chubbums.
Yeah. All right. Haiku Fishback says, do you think that Paulie started wearing a shirt because Victor came back in the house and he never wears a shirt? Oh, do you think that was what it was? That Paulie didn't want to be associated with Victor?
Paulie started wearing a shirt because Victor
wear a shirt.
Because Victor doesn't wear a shirt. And why would he not do that then? Why no two dudes without shirts?
He didn't want to be associated with them.
I don't know. I never thought that seems like a thought Corey would have.
Well, I mean, yeah. I saw a before and after picture of Paulie, like when he came into the house versus now, and suggesting that like maybe he's put on a little bit of weight. So maybe when Victor came in, he was like, oh man.
Oh,
that is not friendship.
No, they were
not
just
friendship.
They were just both flexing with their shirts off in the storage room. So
this is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection. And I'm all about it because these biceps ain't going to feed themselves. So your boy needs his meat.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Your boy needs his meat? Are you kidding? They did that. I didn't even pick up on that.
All right. Ken Skate Fan. Can James and Natalie get to the final two somehow? Would be hilarious. What would they need to do?
Really, really Jeff and Jordan it up so much that Grodner just melts and they become butter and putty in her hands. And then Grider just feeds them the you know, whatever. Yeah, there's no, absolutely no way beyond production bullshit that James and Natalie will make final two. It would be impossible.
Impossible, Taryn.
Beyond production bullshit.
I think they have a chance. I think that if they continue to lay low, they're not immediate targets. And somebody like one of them would have to be good at mental competitions, basically, because they need to win out in the end. And a lot of those end competitions are mental competitions. We know James isn't very good at them. Maybe Natalie is, but I doubt it. So I doubt they have much of a shot.
Yeah, does not seem likely. But Matt, is the Amazing Race in their future?
See, honestly, they are a very good Amazing Race candidate. Definitely. I can see that.
Although, Taryn, what's the likelihood of a Jadily existing outside of being in one confined location?
I think
they'll give it a shot. I think they'll give it a shot. I don't know how long they'll last. I'm not going to say that they'll last much longer than a few months, but I think they'll definitely give it a shot.
They won't last longer than a few months. I'll say that.
Longer or shorter than Lizton lasted?
Longer than Lizton, because there's a genuine kind of charm to their... I don't think it's super like bullshit. Like, I think they're going to try, but it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. That whole matchup is crazy. Do you think Robin Cass or the casting ever had an idea that that would be the likely coupling? It seems
I doubt
wild.
It.
That is, look, she works in mysterious ways.
I wonder if James thinks there's like a joke being played on him.
He's being punked the whole
season. Yeah.
Like, she's like twist. The saboteur.
She's like America's player, and America voted that she has to like hook up with him.
Wow, it's like a real like Joe Millionaire twist.
I would be very paranoid.
Yeah, that would be funny. That would be something like if you were going to do like another Joe Schmo show, like if you sort of like mix the format where you had a guy who was like the new Joe Schmo and he thought he was like playing Survivor or Big Brother, but then you hired a woman to go in and like sort of like fall like madly in love with him. And the guy would kill himself. Like it would really just be, it would be terrible. What's the name of that show?
What's the name of that show? Putting me on the spot with this.
Okay.
We'll have to come up with one. Hashtag that. Right. I ask your cult fan base to figure out a name and hashtag.
Okay. That's good. In the chat room. Yeah. All right. Matt, how you doing on time?
Yeah, a couple more minutes.
I
got a lot of celebrating to do.
Yeah, Matt has a lot of celebrating to do. Maybe taking in Sharknado tonight. So we'll get into the live feeds when Matt jumps off in a couple minutes. King, unless he changes his mind and wants to stay. King155, can we blame Zakiya's awful gameplay on that Cali Fury charm? She pretty much checked out once she teamed up with Pauly. Did Pauly break Zakiya in your mind, Matt?
Yeah, she was just such a powerhouse before. And I was like, Zakiya, what happened to you? You were just... No, it's like polishing a turd, you know. She was no
Taryn,
good.
What
before.
Happened? I feel like we she's used to talk no about her as like the she's under the radar, Zakiya. That she's a
she's real far under the radar. She isn't even.
Yeah, now all we talk about is she threw Bridget's cookies away, and then when is she going to date Pauly? And we don't even talk about her in terms of the game anymore.
No, you know, this happens a lot with these, because, you know, the game starts and there are a lot of people who are just kind of laying low, being social, and those are the players you want to typically look out for, but about 80% of them turn out to be Zakiya's.
Yeah. Yeah, she is who we thought she was.
I think she's going to flow by for a bit and make it kind of far. She's not going to win or anything like that, but I mean, I think she'll, make it a bit.
Matt, what about Big Meesh? We haven't talked about her yet tonight. Do you have any take on Big Meesh?
She also, having nothing to do with stuff on the feeds, but just like, she seems like she's a total nut job too, and I love it. But like, I was telling my wife that I'm calling it here publicly on Rob as a podcast.
Yes.
Previously, privately in my living room, that she is going to be the one that's going to do the Noonan spiral downward.
Oh, the Noonan spiral. Oh, my God.
I saw it before the even crazy stuff started happening. I just saw it in her eyes a little bit, and I said something to say. And then, like, the whole that baddie shit with her sister on Twitter that I fucking loved went down. And then all this, and then just, like, the stuff, just little things. They even play, like, little weird clips of her, things I read on the blog. It's happening. It's definitely happening.
Wow. Nobody's ever come back from the Noonan spiral.
I'm really excited, and I'm supporting her from whatever happens.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. All right. Well, she didn't get a PhD, did she?
A PPhD, maybe.
She was talking about how Paul is looking more attractive to her lately.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a great point. That keeps like going through the cycle. It's like, oh, this person's got, well, he's attractive now. Than that person's, I love it. I love when chicks are baddie like that.
All right. Thomas Bobbin says, don't you guys feel volunteering to be a pawn is even less wise this week? Bridget isn't a threat and everybody knows it. Matt, should that affect the decision-making process if you are going to do this move to say, boy, this is such a non-entity on the block tonight?
Yeah, but these people are terrible guys. So it didn't play a role, a factor in this decision. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Everyone, the question this, person is right. Rob, you're right. America would
this
probably,
shivering yeah. shelter dog is sitting here on the block. Like, is somebody really going to cast a vote to evict her on Thursday? Why not keep her in the game as long as you can? Yeah,
that's what happened with Paul. Paulie looked at the shivering shelter dog and he was like, oh my God, she's beautiful. And he wants to take her in.
Well, if he wants to take her in, why go up on the block and ensure? Like, I liked his plan that we talked about on Thursday night of, does he look at her and see Victoria? I don't know why somebody isn't looking at her and saying, like, I will take her. I should bring this person to the final two. Why are we trying to get her out?
I think he was so confident that he literally was saying, like, yeah, I'm just going to pull out a veto and then we'll backdoor Devon. That's what'll happen.
Okay. And then I'll tell her I saved you. Maybe that's where he's going. All right. Bryce Nethery wants to know, why is Pauly such a hated house guest? I really like Pauly and I don't understand why everyone is hating on him. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's because here's why. It's because we all can agree that we don't like Paul, and then it's like a copy of
no,
a copy.
No, you're wrong about
so it's
that.
Like,
people, lots of people that like Paul.
No, I feel I'm right about this one. And then, and so it's like a copy of a copy. So it's like we're getting the lesser version of the Paul. So of course we don't like Paul.
And he's the lesser version of Cody.
Yeah, it's just that's why we don't. And because he started off really attractive, and no people like us like attractive guys, and that's not good. Either.
So you're saying that he, because he's gotten less attractive over the course
actually,
of the
that
season,
makes him more likable in a way that he's
yeah you should like him more
defiled himself yeah.
Jason McDaniel wants to say, can we discuss how Paul totally needs to peel the banana before he eats it? Yeah. can we talk about this, Matt? Do you have a take on this?
Seems like a question.
Are you friendship
I don't understand.
Or pissed about the that Paul apparently takes the entire peel off a banana before he eats it rather than peeling it as he goes along?
I didn't know he did that. I'm not upset. I do that sometimes too, but not always. Is that a bad, what does that mean? Does that mean something?
He was waving the whole naked banana around as he was telling Victor he needed a pawn.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it also, but I believe that Paul, in his like half zipped up sleeveless vest, does not look unlike a half peeled banana walking around the house.
It's very true.
So it's especially ironic. He looks like the guy that comes out like it's peanut butter jelly time. It's peanut butter jelly time.
It's like
friendship
Casey,
and friendship. Pissed.
Casey from BB11, the banana.
PPJ. Katie Beth Austin wants to know, was that an angry Marsha the Moose yelling at the house guests about the care package? Yeah, Matt, why did the announcement get so testy about the care package?
So
like,
angry.
Get in the backyard now!
Backyard. I think we're napping. It was wrong. Just a big care package. Yeah, there was an angry person. I don't know why they do that. I mean, maybe they think that's funny. I don't know.
Yeah, Taryn, do you have any insight into this?
the yelling?
Yes. Why were they yelling at them about the care package?
I feel like this is what they want. This is why we're getting so much yelling in the diary room. They're like, this is what we want from you guys. Yeah.
Energy.
Yeah.
So he got into the backyard.
Yeah. Taryn, how did they do that airdrop? I mean, I can't imagine they dropped it from an airplane like on Survivor. Did they just throw it over the fence?
I think so. There's probably someone just on the wall, just kind of like, boop.
It was like 10 different takes of failure before that one actually happened.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Theo, who says, what do you think Corey's feelings are towards Nicole? We haven't seen him talk about her or them in the diary room. Does he feel about Nicole the way he feels about the shelter dog?
No.
He loves the dog more.
Yeah. But he loves Nicole more than he loves the goat. So it goes goat, Nicole, goat, dog.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right. We should get into the live feed stuff. Matt, do you want to hang out?
I should probably take off and do my stuff.
Okay. All right. So you go ahead and you do your birthday stuff.
Thanks, Darren.
happy birthday,
birthday
to
stuff. I'm doing birthday stuff.
Happy birthday to my boy, Matt. Yeah. We didn't talk about this at all. What do you think of all the
I don't like the your boy.
You don't like it?
I don't like it at all. No, I don't like that. I don't like meow meow. I don't like all these like things, these words, these, you know, phrases of affection like that.
Yeah. Well, tonight we had we need your girl to go up on the block because homegirl needs to come down. Yeah. Too much. All right. Matt, always a pleasure to talk with you. Enjoy the Sharknado tonight.
Yes, I'm glad this worked out.
Yeah. Happy birthday. What a night for you.
What a night.
Rob is a podcast, Sharknado, your birthday.
Baby shower.
Baby shower earlier today.
Yeah. It's a hell of a 39.
It wasn't Topaz's baby shower, was it?
No, it was not. I don't run in those celebrity circles.
All right. Follow the great head of Hoffhold on Twitter. Yeah. How's everything? Everybody's good at home?
Oh, yeah, we're very good at home, always. Just hanging in the Hoffland Ranch in the basement of kids' toys and ghosts.
All right, Matt. You take care, all right? We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, buddy. Have a good one.
Love you, Matt.
PP.
All right, bye. What's that? Did you drop an I love you, Matt?
I love Matt.
Yeah.
He was awesome. Really awesome in Chicago.
All right, well, we've reached new heights here in the pre-spoiler section of the show. So let's go ahead and see if we can top it as we talk about the spoilers from this weekend on the Big Brother Live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
I was miming Paul peeling a banana with the spoilers.
Did you get all the way through?
Yes, yes. It's the banana peel is completely gone now. All right, so here we are, Taryn, and a lot going on here, a lot of moving and shaking potentially here. Paulie and Bridget were on the block as we left the show here on Sunday night. So give us an update to where we stand right now.
You know, Paulie was very confident that he was going to win this veto, and he did. Paulie wins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Paulie did it.
In the process, Bridget has injured her knee as well as her ankle.
Somebody just take this shelter dog out to the back. It's the humane thing to do this Thursday. Just put her down.
Yeah.
Just put her down.
You know, that's been brought up by Paul was talking to Devon. He was like, yeah, I mean, Bridget's like this poor little girl who's like, she's injured. Like, people are going to take pity on her.
Oh, so they're worried about her now. She's going to rally.
I mean, it's a thing.
All right. So Paulie is coming down. Where do we stand?
So Paulie has been pushing for Devon to be the replacement pretty hard. And Paul is saying, you know, Bridget is still my target. I still want Bridget to go home, but I will do what you wish, Paulie, and I will put up Devon and then let the house decide what they want. So Devon is going to be the replacement. As of right now, Paul has just a couple hours ago, kind of gave Devon the initial, you know, I'm looking for a pawn to put up as a replacement and nobody else fits but you. kind of thing. And Devon did not take that very well. So it's definitely looking like that is what's going to happen.
So then this is a very precarious situation for Team PP.
PP always pulls through.
Because if Paul is saying, okay, Paulie, friendship, I'll put Devon on the block, because you want to. This is one of those weeks where we have eight people voting, correct? And if we get into a 4-4 split, Paul has to break that tie. What is he doing what he wants, or would he do what Paulie wants?
I think right now he would do what he wants, but there's still a lot of time to discuss this scenario with Paulie, and I think that ultimately he will do what Paulie wants. I think that unless the votes completely flip and they don't have any numbers to get Devon out, Devon will be going home because Paulie will be pushing very, very hard.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Ocho Rios of it all, where we talked about this on Thursday night, this idea that somebody has the round trip ticket. We know production knows who has what numbers, and there's this poster in the house which reads, you know, what is it? Ocho Rios is the destination or something like that. What is the wording of that poster?
Yeah, it's Ocho Rios, like is the something destination. It means it, like, translated to like eight is good or something like that.
Okay. So we have this idea where, okay, we're going to backdoor Devon. We're going to get her out of the house. And I think that there's a realistic chance that maybe Devon then comes back into the house at that point. Is this a scenario that you're rooting for?
Yeah, I think that would definitely stir up the house. Like I said, Paulie is in a very domineering position right now. And if Devon did leave and left for good, we'd be hard pressed to find a situation where the power structure is going to change anytime soon. I think the guys would be running the house, but I think if Devon came right back, she'd come back in guns blazing and could maybe pull together the girls, minus Nicole. But you never know, you know, she might just go out again the next week.
Does Paulie need to spend any of his political capital in the house to make this Devon vote go through?
He has.
We outlined this scenario a couple of weeks ago with Tiffany,
right,
where we said, "Oh, how hilarious would it be if Paulie has to, you know, use whatever goodwill he has to knock Tiffany out, and then she comes right back in the door? Wouldn't that be hilarious?" And now here we are only a couple weeks later where Paulie is really driving the Winnebago on, hey, let's knock Devon out of the house. And then she could potentially walk right back in.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I think Devon just had a conversation with Paulie. I think she really trusts him, not as much as some other people, but she definitely doesn't see it coming that he is the one that's kind of masterminding this plan to get her out. She doesn't even see the plan to get her out. She's just afraid that she's in danger right now. And so I think that he would take a lot of that blame. However, this time, unlike the Tiffany time, I think that the blame will be shared with Nicole and Corey, who are the people that Devon is skeptical of in the first place. I think that if she goes out, she'll come back in thinking, ah, Nicole managed to swing the votes to get me, as opposed to Paulie is this mastermind.
You know what's the most frustrating thing about all this is that this season started and we had the Fatal Five Alliance, where it was Devon and Nicole and Zakiya and Big Meech and Tiffany. And they were like, okay, this is it. All right, this is the final five. We're just going to run things. And if those people, I know Tiffany is gone, but if those four people like got back together and got on the same page, they could completely figure out everything that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, this all stems back to this thing, two things, kind of. The thing with Devon, where she pinned Frank and Tiffany against each other. Devon was skeptical of Tiffany because of the Vanessa thing, so she did a lot of work to mangle that up, and it exploded in her face. And then this other thing where Paulie had come up with this idea of the Showman's Alliance with Devon as the fifth wheel, and then she exposed that to people like Tiffany and James, and that got Nicole to not trust her, and that has been steaming ever since. And so those two things have really been just a big weight dragging on her game the entire way through.
Mm-hmm. And the other major problem here for the Fatal Four is, can anybody on that side win an HOH?
You know,
would that be possible, or is this going to be Paulie, Paul, Corey, just James trading off HOHs now every week?
It certainly seems that way, but I think that we're running low on the physical competitions, and we're going to get more into this is kind of the stage where we're going to get more of those question comps. We did just kind of have a like a crapshoot kind of competition with this rolling the ball down the thing. So the next one, it's probably going to be questions, which is pretty crapshooty.
Is Nicole good at that?
I mean, Nicole would probably just take out somebody like Bridget or like she wouldn't go after a guy. I mean, she might take out Victor, but
because I feel like the person who's going to be the best in the house at those competitions, I feel like is going to be Paulie.
Very possibly. It can be so random, though. You know, just like who knows what answers. As long as everybody's studying, it tends to be pretty spread out who wins the question comps. But yeah, I mean, really, the track record for these girls is not very good.
Okay. All right. Anything else cooking in the house? What about this plan to potentially have a resistance to the Pauly movement to knock Day out?
Yeah, so Zakiya is not on board with this backdoor Devon plan. Devon came immediately to Zakiya after her conversation with Paul, cried to her saying, it's not fair that I'm going up on the block. Why does everybody else get a pass but not me? And Zakiya feels like it's not fair that they're targeting Devon, and she doesn't feel like Devon leaving is good for her game. She said something along the lines of, you know, whatever Pauly, or not to Pauly, but to James, she said, I'm going to tell Pauly that I'm not going to vote Devon out regardless of what happens. But she's still not telling Devon everything that's going on. She's not telling Devon that she's actually the backdoor target. She's just kind of feeling bad for her. So there's not a whole lot of actual movement to save Devon, but there is definitely willingness to. James isn't super solid on the idea. Zakiya definitely doesn't want it. Michelle doesn't want it. So there are people in the house who might try to oppose this idea.
Yeah, what about James and especially Natalie? What would they rather see happen? Would they rather see Bridget go out on Thursday? Would they rather see Devon stay?
James has gone back and forth. With certain people, he talks about how he wants Devon in the game. With other people, he talks about how he wants Devon out of the game. Natalie has promised Bridget her vote, but she also just promised Devon her vote. So that could go either way. Obviously, Natalie is close with Bridget, and I think that might win the day ultimately. And that would probably pull James along with her, especially because he also has the guys pushing that. So I wouldn't be surprised if James and Natalie went to keep Devon, if there was some sort of power shift. But if I had to bet, I'd say that they're voting Devon out.
Okay. Karen, do you happen to know off the top of your head what is the second care package that is being dropped off next week?
It is you get to eliminate two votes in the eviction.
Eliminate two votes. And we should fully expect that James is going to be the person who has this.
I would imagine so.
Okay. Because if Natalie is off the board, it would make sense that James is going to potentially have the ability to knock two votes off next week. So maybe some intrigue coming with that.
Yeah, it's not super powerful with seven votes. Basically, it has to be a 4-3 vote for it to change the outcome, which isn't super likely, but the possibility is there.
Yeah, and then also the possibility that there is some sort of a backlash from, hey, why'd you take my votes away? I guess James isn't with us, because, again, this is the kind of thing where it's going to be revealed in front of the house. It looks like somebody's got, you know, that if it's the same system as we saw tonight, parachute drops, James gets it, James gets to take two people's votes away. Whose votes is James taking away? And for somebody who's in the middle, this could be more of a curse than a blessing.
Oh, yeah, especially the fact that it will be Natalie and then him showing off the fact that they are the two most popular house guests in the house. And it's already put a bit of a target on Natalie. People were very upset that she won this.
Yeah, talk about this. Yeah. What about the idea of humble your girl, James?
Yeah, that was they're immediately after this, they're talking about how, oh, Natalie's getting a big head now. She thinks that she's the best. You know, James, you need to humble your girl.
Now, who's saying that specifically?
All of them were upset. It might have been Corey. It might have been Paul. It might have even been Pauly. It was, I'm pretty sure it was one of the guys. Don't think it was Victor, though.
Yeah. doubtful one of the women was telling James to humble your girl.
Yes. So one of those guys. But yeah, immediately people were upset about this. They were coming up with excuses as to why she got it and why they didn't. Corey was very upset about the have not pass, as he mentioned in the show.
Well, he loves presents. He loves Christmas.
Yes, he really hates being a have-not, and I can't really blame him for hating it, because as he mentioned, he is so ridiculously tall that it is torture for him to try to sleep in those little bumper cars, but he was very over the top in his disdain for this outcome.
Yeah, it did seem like there were some not nice names that were being thrown around the house about Natalie as well.
Yeah, that's been going on for a little while.
Yeah, not cool, not cool. Take it easy. All right, let's go and take some other questions. Pablo says, Paul just called Devon a bad word to Paulie and said that she's definitely going home. Okay, that's an update.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've kind of been seeing what's been happening during the episode and since the episode, and it seems as though Devon's behavior after being told that she's basically, he didn't say the words that she's going to be the pawn, but he basically told her through the way that the conversation went, and her behavior since then is not very appealing to Paul, because she's going around saying this isn't fair, she's crying to people, and I don't think he's enjoying it very much, so this might be turning the tides against her in Paul's eyes.
Okay, but let's see, she could come right back, so we'll hold off the funeral for Devon until Friday.
Yeah.
Jeremiah says, are people now suspect of Nicole having backed out of volunteering as a pawn this week? Did she lose any sort of credibility with the group for taking it back?
A little bit, but you know, pretty much everybody did to some extent, because nobody was willing to volunteer. And at the end, as we saw, everybody was like, oh, no, 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 I'll do it. Oh, no, 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 I'll do it. And so, I mean, nobody's like, oh, Nicole, she should have done it, other than maybe Devon, because Devon just wanted her up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Olivia T, how did Bridget hurt her knee? Was it another celebration?
No, it was like a running competition or a sprinting competition. She just did something to it as she ran. By the way, Corey was very upset with himself after this veto, because he had a false start and that disqualified him from the competition, I guess. And he was like, oh man, I need like my dad here to like beat me into gear so I can win these competitions or something. Like, he's very down on himself for not being good in the competitions.
Yeah, poor Corey.
Yeah.
Poor Corey. All right, Dawn S. says, if Bridget leaves this week, who do you think will be the house target next? Does everyone think they're part of the alliance? So let's just combine this. And Bridget and Devon seem like the two names that the house can agree, okay, these are the next two people that need to go. So, hypothetically, if they were off the board, who would be the next target of the house? Is it Zakiya?
It depends on how they went out. Because, I mean, Paulie is definitely pushing for Zakiya to be a target. I don't know how serious he is about it. He's definitely not happy with her. As we mentioned in the first half of the show, they've been getting into a lot of arguments. And she's also been getting in his ear about Paul and the guys. And so he's starting to feel like she's a threat to him and his game. And he's talking about taking her out as early as next week. So she is definitely on his radar. That said, I think that if for whatever reason the vote flips and Devon stays this week, that means Paulie's probably in a lot of trouble, and I would be worried about Paulie's position moving forward if that happened.
Even if she goes out and then comes back in?
I would still be more concerned for him than if she left, but less concerned than if the vote flipped, because if the vote flipped, that means he lost the numbers.
Okay, let's do a couple more questions. Laurel wants to know, is there anything at this point that can stop the guys from wiping out the women? I mean, Taryn, what has to happen for Nicole to wake up and realize, like, okay, Devon just went out this week, Bridget just went out this week, does she need...
What is going on?
Like, at what point does she say, oh, the guys are going to stick together and I am going to be like Christine?
The second that she stops saying that Corey is the most beautiful thing she's ever seen.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. All right. Lisa, who says, why hasn't Nicole tried to pick up Bridget as a number? What's the beef between Nicole and Bridget?
Well, there was that whole thing where, I mean, Bridget was with Frank, and Nicole had tried to work with Frank and Bridget for a little while, but Frank kept throwing her under the bus. There's still some animosity there between the two of them because of what went down. They are trying to kind of like rebuild this thing because they have a common enemy in Dave Vaughn. But they're still not, like, Polly is the one that's picking Bridget up right now, basically. So Nicole doesn't really have a lot of leverage there.
Okay. One more question here with Taryn tonight. Sesson 100, do you think that Big Brother should go back to having 12 to 13 house guests a season? It'll be easier for them to give airtime to the house guests. Taryn, is this something that in all of your Big Brother think tanking that you have done, do you feel like that this is the way Big Brother needs to go?
No, I think we like it when we see people evicted, and the more evictions we have, the better. I think that maybe lessen the amount of time in the house, if anything. I don't think we're too concerned about seeing everybody. Like, we don't need to be seeing a whole lot of Zakir right now. I know Matt wants to see her arguments with Polly, but if we have time for the shelter dogs, then we have time for that. So I don't think we're like too hard pressed to fit everything in right now. I think we're looking for stuff to put in.
Yeah. If I was to run for Big Brother Czar, I think that my platform would be, I don't think we need to cut down from 16 people. I just think we need to find the right 16 people.
I'm in tears right now. You've got my vote, Rob.
Yes.
Historic.
Yes. Yes. Great job. All right, Taryn. Good stuff tonight. Long show, but it was worth it. Lots of fun stuff with Matt along the way. He was great for the birthday, your boy. We had Alex on the other night. It was his birthday.
Yeah.
And then we had, that was on Friday. And then we talked to Matt tonight. When's your birthday?
It's in April, so.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we'll talk to your boy during Big Brother Canada on your birthday this year. All right. Good stuff, Taryn. What should we be on the lookout for this week on the feeds?
Be on the lookout for this movement to flip the vote. I don't see a lot of momentum behind it right now, but there's definitely seeds there. If Zakiya is able to get James on board, that'll be the first step. And we might see something happen if that does go down.
Okay. All right, so Taryn, we need the hashtag. I got some nominees for you. We have PPHD, also PPB&J, and Noon in Spiral.
Ooh, I like PPHD.
Okay, great. There you go. All right, so fun show tonight. We'll be back again live on Wednesday for Rob as a podcast. Don't forget the Big Brother Happy Hour, Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It will be hard to top last week's live Big Brother Happy Hour when the secret room. Remember when there was a secret room this season, Taryn?
Yeah, it seems like forever ago.
Yes. When the secret room was discovered right when you guys were going on the air, it was very exciting.
Yeah, that was definitely great. Like, it was happening, and people were like, "We need an emergency podcast." And I was like, "We're actually about to go live, so this is good timing."
Yeah, so it all happened, and breaking news was happening, and Jordan Parhar was there to find it. So go ahead and check out this week's show again. We will have that for you on robinsonwebsite.com or in the Reality TV Rehap Ops feed on RHAP. All right. So good stuff. Looking forward to reading what you guys have to say. Have a fun Survivor off-season podcast coming for you guys on Monday night / Tuesday morning. We're going to be adding a bunch of sound clips to a new page on the soundboard from seasons of Survivor that existed before we were recording sound bites on Rob as a podcast. So look for that coming up on Tuesday with one of our longtime listeners, Megan Z, and I recorded that today. And then, of course, we'll be getting back into all of the Big Brother. And we got some more fun Big Brother stuff coming up along the way. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say on robinsonwebsite.com. Take care, everybody.